book of the Revelation, chapter number 21. I want to read two verses today and then I'll get into the preaching. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. John is writing. He's on the Isle of Patmos. The Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God began to deal with John's heart. John says, and as God gave him a revelation, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for the time together. God, today on this Lord's Day, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for liberty and freedom. God, most of all, thank you for salvation that's been provided unto us by your only Son. Thank you for the songs that have been sung this morning and how our hearts have been touched and blessed. Thank you for the people of God that have gathered today. Now I pray you let preaching be easy a few moments, and I pray, God, you'd help me to be a blessing. If it be one here lost today, I pray that you'd deal with their hearts. I pray for every man of God that's standing this morning in the sacred desk, that God, you'd touch them and use them. Help us today for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Verse number 2, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That's what I want to preach from this morning, is on the holy city. It is a holy city. There is something a lot better than this of where we're headed to. The Bible teaches us when we die, at that time we meet God. There is no purgatory. There is no place that you go into a holding place to wait to see if something else can be done. The Bible says that you must be born again. You must be born by the grace of God. We're taught in this day, in this hour. The book of Ephesians says that we're saved by grace through faith. But let me tell you, those that are saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, there is a holy city to go to. Now there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 20, he said at the great judgment bar of God, he said in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their work." God is writing everything down. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Then death and hell were delivered up, the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you die without Christ, you'll be at this white throne judgment that I just read to you this morning. The Bible said that you'd be cast away from God for all eternity. The Bible said in verse 15, "And whosoever..." You see, God's not a respecter of person. The Bible said, "Whosoever believes upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved." It also says here, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." And now John starts to tell us about the holy city. Aren't you glad there is a promise of the holy city? Aren't you glad there is a place of the promise of the holy city? And then there is people in the holy city this morning. Well, preacher, I want to ask you something. When you die and you're saved, where do you go? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to live with the Lord Jesus. So here, John, God didn't show him a lot, but what he did show him, I want to go through this morning about the holy city. Now, in verse number 1 of Revelation 21, you'll notice there is an identity in the city. He said in verse 3, he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Then he says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And here in this identity, the Bible said, "He that sat upon the throne." See, nobody has taken his position. Nobody has taken his place. He was God before the mud seals of this old world was spoken to existence. And he'll be God after this old world is gone. So he said he sat on the throne. "And behold, I make all things new." He said, "Now write, these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega." In other words, he's the beginning and he is the ending. And he said, "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So there we see the identity. There is God on his throne in the holy city. But not only is there an identity at the holy city, look if you would with me in verse number 7, there is an inheritance in the holy city. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son." I'm glad God has given his children something to inherit. I'm glad we can have great church services. We have family. We have the good things of life, many of us, that we get to enjoy. But honey, let me tell you, we're going to a place that is fairer than day one day. And because God has left us an inheritance to this holy city, I'm glad nobody will steal my inheritance. I'm glad no crooked lawyer will go and pay off a judge and make things not right. God said, "I'm going to see about it that you're going to inherit this glorious holy city." So we see not only this of its identity and our inheritance, but if you would, in verse 9, there is a inhabitants. Look who's in the holy city. The Bible said, "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Who is that? That's the church. That's the blood-washed band. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, all the churches in America are going down." Hey, let me tell you something. There may be a lot of doors being locked in America this morning, but friend, the church is not going down. The church is going up. The bride of Christ, those that Christ has saved by the grace of God, we're going home to live in heaven. And I sure am glad there's a promise of that glorious city in my life. I love living. I love life. But I sure am glad after this old life is over with, I'm going to a city where there are no more heartaches and pains. There are no more death and dying. There are no more crying. There are no more problems in this old world. We get to go to the holy heavenly city. Now, John, God did not give him a lot of the city. But what he did give him, he didn't give him a whole lot to write over, but what he did give him, he pinned some things down. And leads me to move on not only to the identity of this city, the inhabitants of this city, the church, but there's information about this city. You know, a lot of you, before you go to a place, you'll get on the internet and you'll look and you'll see, "Well, I want to see where we're going." You'll look and be sure that this is exactly what you want. Well, I'm going to tell you, God showed John some things to let us know where we're headed to this morning. So in verse number 10 now, You bear with me a few moments. There's the information about this city. A lot of people's wondered a lot about heaven. Well, let's see what the Bible says. He says in verse number 10, there's a source in heaven. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and He showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, this city, Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now we see this city coming down from God out of heaven. We see the source of this city. Man has not built this city, but God and His Son has been building this city. You say, well, man of God, what are they doing? Jesus is getting the city ready. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to get ready here to go to His city. You must be born again by the good grace of God. So John saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. We see the source of that city. It came from God. Then look in verse 11. There's the splendor of that city. He said it was having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Those commentators will tell you that jasper stone, it is more brilliant, it's more clear than a diamond. And John said he saw this holy city descending out of heaven from God. Can you imagine as we get a glimpse of this city and its splendor? We've seen a lot of pretty things in this old world and in this life. But let me tell you, in the eye of the child of God, there'll be nothing like the splendor of God's holy city. Then verse 12. Not only the splendor of the city, look at the security of the city. And he had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then he said simply, and on the east 3 gates, on the north 3, on the south 3, and on the west, there was 3 gates. So here, the security of this city, we see it had a wall high and great. But it also, you'll notice there's the safety of this city. He said simply that there was the gates that opened. 3 to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the east, 3 to the west. You say, well, what does that really mean in a spiritual application, Pastor? He said, all of you in the north, all of you in the east, all of you in the west, all of you in the south, said you've all got an opportunity to come to the city. And there's one way that leads to that city this morning. That is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the splendor of this city, we see its security and its safety. But in verse 14, look at the support of this city. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Then, a lot have been written about this. Here's the size of the city. How big is heaven, preacher? Look in verse 16. And the city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. There's the size of the city. It's much like a cube. It is as high as it is long. And it is wide as it is high and long. 1,500 miles. That's a big city. Somebody said all the way from Canada, all the way to the Gulf Coast. There's the size of that glorious city. And as God showed John about the size of this city, He said, I want to show you something else in verse 21. He said, I want you to see the street of that city. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of 1 pearl. And here it is. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can I remind you folks this morning, when we go to heaven, we're going to be walking on things that this world holds highly. Men have fought and given their life for gold. God said it'll be under our feet in that city. Can you imagine seeing that golden street? I like what one old preacher said. He said, all the gold that's in this old world is where God has swept the street off in the city. Oh my goodness, the things that seem to be so high and highly valued in this old world, God's going to let His children walk on the street of gold. You see, there's the size of this city. There's the street of this city. But look at verse 22. He says something. Look at the sanctuary in this city. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The sanctuary of the city, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the temple was used simply to promote the presence of God. God established the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And there, God would meet with His people. Now, God has local New Testament churches scattered all across this children. And you know what the church does? It promotes the presence of God. When we meet together last Sunday, when God stirred in this place. See, this morning, our church, this sanctuary, it promotes the presence of God. The temple, our body, that God lives in us, it practices the presence of God. But here in this city, the Bible simply says, as John is writing, he said, there is no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We're going to have a grand time worshiping the Lord. We'll never be without Him. You know, if worship tears you up here, I'll be very concerned, because we're headed to the city. We're going to worship God. And the Bible said they heard loud voices. There's not going to be a quiet side in heaven and a loud side in heaven. My goodness, if a little loud church tears your nerves up, you better be getting ready to go to the city, friend. The sanctuary, the presence of God, will the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There's the Father and the Son, inseparable. And so that'll be the sanctuary of the city. Now look in verse 23. Here's the sufficiency of the city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There are no street lights in that city. There are no power bills in that city. For it is sufficient. God lights the city by the glory of His darling Son. No power outages. We have linemen in our church. We have men on crews of Georgia Power and other power companies. And when the power goes out, you know why most of the power goes out? Most of the time it's cause of a storm. But honey, let me tell you, I'm going to the city where there is no more storms. And there'll be no more power outages. There won't be nobody turning your lights off in that city. For the glory of God and the Lamb are the light thereof. So there's the sufficiency of the city. God runs it. God has everything that it needs. And I'm going to tell you this morning, as a people of God, God's got everything we need this morning. The sufficiency of the city. Verse 24, look at the saved of the city and the nations of them which are saved. God's got people saved in every nation. There are so many people that know God that you and I don't know about. And he said, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I studied that verse and I wondered about that. That it really bothered me for years. The kings shall bring their honor and glory. And yes, they're going to walk in that city and submit unto Christ and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And so here in this glorious city this morning, we see its size, its street, its sanctuary, its efficiency. We see those that are saved. But look now, chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible finishes talking about this city. There's the stream of this city. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Oh my goodness, the stream of that city, it will be pure water. He said, a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Again, there's the Father and the Son inseparable this morning. He said, this river that pours out of the throne of God in this city, it will be pure. There'll be no pollution in heaven. Can you imagine drinking out of this great river of life? Can you imagine drinking out of this river of the city? You know, I've noticed that one of the hardest things in a person's life is thirst. The Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, He cried and He said, I thirst. If you really, really, really get thirsty and you can't get to water, it's such suffering, it's such a turmoil. But can you imagine when we get to that city and get to drink out of this pure river of water? And you see, in this city, there is the stream. But then in look in verse 2, there is its sustenance. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. There's the sustenance of that city. Now let's look at it. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Some commentators say, well, there's more than one tree. Some say, well, the tree is so huge that it reaches on both sides of the river. I guarantee you one thing, it'll be there when we get there. And so here you'll notice that this sustenance, look what it says. He says, it is the tree of life and it bear 12 manner of fruits. You say, well, preacher, what is that? Heaven won't be boring. God is a God of diversity. And upon this tree, it will bear a fruit that is different every month. You say, when we get to heaven, are we going to eat off this tree? Sure we are. You say, well, what if I don't like it that month? You'll like it that month and you'll like it the month after. Because everything there will be glorious in that city. You see, there's the sustenance. And look what he says. He says, not only that fruit of the tree, he says, in the midst of the street of it, on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. And here's another thought. Yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We'll never grow old. We'll never be sick. God's got everything in that city that we need. Yes, we'll have a glorified body, but we'll be able to partake of this tree in ways that you and I thought was unimaginable. Can you imagine when we get there? We see a street of gold. We see the throne of God. We see this thing shining as a jasper stone. We see the walls high and great in its foundations and its gates. And we see the throne of God. And there's a river proceeding out of that throne. There's a tree on both sides of the river. Oh, we're going to enjoy eternity for a long, long time. There'll be no sickness in heaven, for God's got everything we need. And then, not only sustenance, but This is what I want you to see this morning. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Look at the service in this city. When we get to heaven, are we just going to get up there and float around like angels? No, you better read your Bible. We're going to be doing stuff. And the Bible tells us about this service in the city. He said in verse number 3, there shall be no more curse. Thank God. No curse. Because this old world is cursed. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. There's the service of the city. Now I want to ask you something. His servant shall serve Him. We spoke this morning in prayer room, one of the men did, about being a disciple. The Bible speaks of being a disciple and being a Christian. But a disciple is a servant. He has a servitude heart. He's working in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, God is taking notes of what we're all doing for His honor and His glory this morning. And when we get to heaven, His servants, they're going to serve Him. And we're going to have responsibilities. We're going to be enjoying heaven. We're just not going to be propped up in our mansion with our feet up in the window. No, no, friend. We're going to be serving God in that city. And it's going to be a wonderful place to be. I was reading the other week, and you notice when I read this morning, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible teaches us this total earth, and the book of 2 Peter is absolutely going to be destroyed and renovated by fire. And He made a new earth. And I like what one of the old men of God was talking about in this passage about the walls of that city being 1,500 miles long. He said, God, He made a new heaven and a new earth. He said, when we get there, the Bible said there's no more sea. God does something with the sea. Inside of those walls, the sea will be gone, but the river of life will be flowing. And here this morning, you'll notice His servants will serve Him. But not only this service, but look in verse 5 of Revelation 22. Notice the shining. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. What's your Bible? Forever and ever. I preached a message one time years ago, eternity is too long to be wrong. That message is still true in this day and this hour. He said, and they shall reign forever and ever. And then look in verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. He said, now, behold, I come quickly. Time out. This has been 1,900 years since this was written. So I come quickly. Did you know in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, He's not talking about a time on a clock. He's talking about a moment in our life when it will happen quickly. I've noticed a lot of people said that they're going to get saved before the midnight hour, but at 11 o'clock they meet God. Today is the day of salvation. I wouldn't put off today what I know I could get today and wondered would I ever have it tomorrow. Jesus saves. Christ said, behold, I come quickly. And older folks, isn't that a true statement? Life is but a vapor. My goodness, just a few days ago I was riding a bicycle. I was hardly waiting to get my driver's license. Now I've got grandchildren. I come quickly. You see, this morning, this glorious city, this holy city, we see its not only its shining, but its sureness. For John said, now John saw in verse 8 these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. This right here ought to help folks as worshiping angels and statues. Then saith unto me, set thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. We don't worship idols. We don't worship angels. We worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. He says it again. And watch this, child of God, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. God's writing down what we're doing. You folks that gave time in Bible study and Bible school the other week for these little ones, did you know God wrote all that down? Did you know when you hear and you even open up the door of the church or you help somebody out in this old world for the cause of Christ, He's writing everything down. And let me tell you, God don't miss nothing. Everything you do for His honor and His glory, God's writing it down this morning. And then He says this. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Miss Sherry, if you would come for me this morning. Blessed are they that do His commandments, and they that might have right to the tree of life may enter in through the gates into the city. I close with this, not only the identity in the city, not only the inheritance in the city and the information of the city, but lastly, there's an invitation to the city. I'm glad you can go. I'm glad I can go. But there's only one way to get there. And that's by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's going to be multitudes and multitudes of millions of people that miss this city because they didn't respond to what this Bible said. Believe on the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 16, he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. He said, I want you to preach this in the church. Did y'all know this? I've got a great friend pastoring today. He went up into a part of a country and run a revival all week. Brother Tim, Brother David, on Friday night, he turned to the book of the Revelation, and when he gave his text, they all closed the Bible and stared at him. And he said, that meeting went from being great to it went to the bottom. And he said, I tried to preach a few verses and I just couldn't. He said, I finally just closed my Bible and dismissed. He said, preacher, you know what they were thinking there? I said, no. He said, they think Revelation's a closed book. God said, you read it in all the churches. You let people know there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You let them know, preacher. Tell it in the churches. Thank God we're in the church this morning. Thank God I know my name's written down yonder in glory. God didn't tell John everything, but God showed John enough to write unto us the revelation that we may know there's a glorious city waiting on us that are saved. This invitation, this is what he says. Young people, older people, this is what it says. He said, I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bride of the morning star. It's what Christ said. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And I love this in my Bible. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This morning, if you'd stand with me around the house, Miss Sherry's going to come. Some of you have things you need to pray about today. You ought to come pray.